Hype.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, talking with State Representative Christine Goodwin, representing parts of Douglas County. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Hello, everyone.
So, last week, let's start out with legislative days. I know it wasn't necessarily super exciting in some levels, but talk about some of the things that you were involved in.
Well, we're still meeting virtually. However, meetings in December, committee meetings, will be live, which will be nice. It'll be a first for me, but I serve on environment, natural resources, behavioral health, and I've just recently been appointed to healthcare, which is a very big committee in the state, as you can imagine. Lots of activity in healthcare.
And I know talking to Floyd Przanski and David Brock-Smith earlier in the week, one of the interesting elements to the virtual aspect right now is all this construction that apparently is going on at the Capitol.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's really a mess. Of course, it's very convenient for those of us reps that live a long ways from the Capitol. So that's nice. However, I think I will really enjoy the in-person meetings.
So it's an interesting element that you've been in office this long, and it's been pretty much all virtual.
It has been.
Wow.
And a whole year now. I'm gaining seniority quickly. There's going to be a lot of turnover in the House.
Yeah, and that's an interesting element. We'll talk more about some of the shifts there in a little bit. Talk about during the summer some of the things you were involved in. A lot of times folks in the legislature have a real opportunity to connect with a lot of people because of these summer events.
That is actually the most enjoyable part of this job for me. I convened a timber roundtable, an example, brought a lot of the timber stakeholders together, talked about what their issues were and how we are, where we are with the private forest accord. And so that was wonderful. Because of healthcare, I've been plugging in, talking to CCOs, pharmacies, hospitals, all manner of groups, lots of meeting activity with that, and just getting out in my community. Of course, all the summer events are fun and parades and, all the things we celebrate in the summer.
So you have an interesting situation with all the different shifts going on around Oregon. One of them was boundary changes that came following the 2020 census. So talk about the shift that you're hoping to make this fall.
So I'm moving a little further south. I will still have a good piece of southern Douglas County. So I have Canyonville, Riddle, Days Creek, Glendale, all the way down to Rogue River, Gold Hill. I'm going there this evening for a fundraiser, Central Point. So meeting with some of those administrators. I'm starting to move my attention a little further south. Virgil Osborne is now going to be in this position, really representing more Roseburg area and northern Douglas County.
So where's the north end? If you're kind of coming up I-5, where do we switch from the new district to the one you're in now?
Yeah, just Tri-City right in there. But, it's funny, my husband and I have been trying to study that map. and those the perimeter of that is not as clear yet as I'd like it to be. But it's really just slightly north of Canyonville, just a few miles.
So it's interesting that means some new folks to, you just didn't been into this for a while. And now you've got a whole new set of people to get to know.
I do. However, they're very demographically similar. It's still Southern Oregon. And of course, when we get into Salem, the issues for rural Oregon are still very much the same. So it is a new group of people to introduce myself to and to hear from them. But I'm looking forward to it.
What about looking at the election aspect? What are your thoughts about hopes for GOP gains in both chambers?
It's looking very promising. I think Oregonians overall are unhappy with the direction of the state. They can see that it has been so out of balance, that the policies have really been dominated pretty much by Portland interests for at least 10 years. So we really haven't had, I think balance creates a lot better policy overall. And when there's only 23 of us in the House that are Republicans, 37 Democrats, that creates a real problem in terms of us getting any of our bills really successfully through the House.
Now, I know, and I don't know the specific numbers, Cedric Hayden attempting to move over to the Senate. I'm told there's quite a few others, as some folks in the Senate have chosen not to run again or retired. So that creates a whole lot of shifts overall.
Yeah, it does. So, but it's looking like the Senate is really a jump ball right now. The Republicans could actually take the Senate. It is a fairly easy path for us to gain two more seats. So if we get to 25, the Republicans, now we can stop big tax legislation. If we get to 28, 29, which is quite doable, we have pathways there. Now we have better proportions on the committees. We also have the ability, there are moderate Democrats that would move our direction on bills. But right now we have to convince 8 of them to come our direction. Otherwise, once they're on the floor, they have 31 easily to run pretty much, you know, they're successful in any bill they want to pass.
So what about the 23 session? Is there legislation you're already working on for that?
Yes, we just submitted our drafts, our LC drafts, on Friday. So we met prior, and the way it works, we get together our caucus, discuss all the things we're working on. We find out there's a lot of common ground, but typically we're focused on the bills that are going to come through the committees that we serve on. So I was particularly focused on healthcare issues, rural pharmacies, our CCOs, Umpqua Health, All Care, and Grants Pass, really keeping those strong entities. I mean, the whole point is access to health care for our community. I'm also, because of environment and natural resources, very involved with the discussions on zero carbon emissions, which would, by 2035, which would impact our communities in a huge way. Of course, adding a lot of expense, very regressive. It's just, we don't have a good plan B. You know, there's pretty much a desire to move the state directly, almost totally, to renewables, wind and solar. And all the other options are not really being very well discussed from what I can see so far. And that's concerning.
What about and I don't remember the specific way it was framed, but this veteran burial bill were involved in last time didn't quite get through.
Yes, I just met with that. That's going to become a committee bill. So Rep. Lewis, actually Rep. Graber, Rep. Evans, those, they are taking this on. I think we'll get that through committee. So we just did testimony on that last week.
And explain more about what that's about.
Well, basically, here, Roseburg was the epicenter of this discovery that we had these veterans' cremains, some as old as 44 years, that have just been in storage. So nobody, when relatives do not claim that, they just sit in funeral homes. So the bill was fairly straightforward, just require that the funeral home make the contact, reach out to the VSOs, the veteran service officers in the county, let them handle verification of the cremains and burial. And we have a fabulous VSO in Mary Newman Keys. She's already done the burials of 28 of these cremains, and there are, I think, 5 or 6 left that they're going to do. So it blew up on the Senate side for really silly reasons, but that's welcome to Salem. But that, I'm fairly certain that bill will pass.
Well, and it was interesting as well because, I mean, that ultimately got national attention.
Yeah, it was really, and then that prompted a lot of investigation, and we realize there's thousands, very likely thousands, of these veterans. But the cool thing is, once they are buried in the National Cemetery, they go in that registry. And now, if we have, Mary has great stories of families that found their loved one, right, could connect now that they had been buried, because before they had lost touch for years and had no idea where their loved one was.
It's interesting, coming out of some of the war situations where you do have families that get disconnected for a variety of reasons,
right.
And that really has happened in any kind of conflict, you know, newer or going way back, and sometimes you have these rather unique situations.
And we have a big veteran population in Roseburg. You know, this was really, I was really emotional when this one went down. It was really upsetting. So I'm very happy to see that this is going to pass.
All right, more when we come back in a moment. State Representative Christine Goodwin, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com and 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1, and Shannon Sebastian with Your Q, a part of KQA and Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow, an update at Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Melanie Prummer and another staff member will be in. We'll talk about some of the upcoming things they have going on and how you can get involved. State Representative Christine Goodwin in with us now. When we get to the next session with all the shifts in the legislature and everything that goes with that, you aren't necessarily guaranteed the committees you're on now are going to be the ones you're on in the next session, right?
Not necessarily. However, I'm pretty solid on health care because, as you mentioned, three of our reps that were on serving on health care are now going to the Senate side. So that left quite an opening for me. There's actually an opportunity for me to be vice chair of that committee, which would be a big job.
And kind of taking up some of the space that Cedric Hayden has done on the House side.
Correct. Yeah. He's been on that committee for a very long time and has done some really good work there.
So what about, I mean, are there committees that you would like to be on in the next session that you aren't on right now?
My plate's going to be pretty full with environment and natural resources. They probably are likely going to combine behavioral health and health care. So as much as I'd like to eventually get into business and labor, which is also another big committee, I think, you know, I'm still learning as a legislator how to work committees, how to get bills through. I've drafted 15 concepts. And excuse me, the way that works is we now have our legislative council that's helping us really shape those up. And then other legislators will kind of combine. They may have similar concepts, and then they'll start to merge. They'll be assigned to a committee. They have to be worked through the committee, get a hearing, a testimony. It's quite a process.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's just not a matter of a lawmaker sitting down, and because it's got to be framed in all the legal language that achieves what you want to achieve.
Correct.
And sometimes it seems like there's even some back and forth over the years talking to people from both sides of the aisle. You might have an idea, you go in there, and somebody says, well, but you can't do, you know, based on a bunch of legal things.
Right.
So you've really got to let the lawyers kind of sort it out and then make sure that it comes out achieving what you want it to.
Correct, because then there can be amendments along the way, which are those tricky little maneuvers. And then, of course, you have to be careful about the relating clauses. But, it's a very interesting process. My overall, though, strategy as a legislator is to do quality and not quantity. Some legislators like to throw a lot of things, you know, a lot of concepts out there. I really want to work these bills carefully. And you really do have to get bipartisan support, which, again, is my point about when we have more balance, that actually empowers moderate Democrats to work with us on things. Right now, if you just allow the real hard left of their party to control, which they're doing, that's what comes out of the legislature.
So talk about some of the priority maybe issues that you really want to work on.
Well, of course, business is health care, as I've mentioned, and making sure we have access to good health care in our rural communities. But housing's a big issue. Workforce is a big issue. All business people will tell you, large and small, workforce is a problem. And to really attract good workforce, even though the workforce is getting paid as very well, in comparison to past years, but there is housing issues with people, bringing them into your community, a pipeline of education. I know many of my bills are addressing the nursing shortages in our hospitals. They're also addressing that pipeline of nursing education. We have a lot of people like pursue those allied health degrees, which is the Southern Oregon Medical Workforce College, which is also underway. We're meeting about that, and that's going to happen. We're going to be able to train people regionally to stay in our area and help in healthcare. And of course, educate. Now, the hot buttons, of course, in the state are crime, homelessness, also working with a group there, and homelessness in our area, education still. And of course, just inflation. The cost of living in the state of Oregon is very high.
How do you feel like the business community, now that we're into this part of 2022, in this region is faring?
They have struggled. Certainly after COVID, the lockdowns affected a lot of businesses. They're still recovering from that. They're all recovering as you walk about in your life. In our communities, it is difficult to get good workforce. So that is just a common theme throughout the state.
And how do you feel like state government can help the business community be more successful?
I think, having been a businesswoman, I think if they get out of the way, business, and don't throw so many mandates and things that business has to adjust to so quickly, if you let them figure it out, they will. They are problem solvers. That's what we do in business. And we don't throw money after bad ideas. We are innovators. We're creators. We are always looking for a better way to achieve a goal. Let business do its thing. Quit overburdening them. Government does not do business well.
Are there things in when you look at the state budget that if you could, if somebody handed you the pen, what are some of the things you would change?
Well, the first thing, the Oregon Health Authority is way too big. Too big, too much money, huge part of the budget, if not the biggest part of our budget in our state, and just a lot of black holes in that department. And I think that's the governor, our new governor, hopefully will be Christine Drazen. I believe that is one of the first things a governor is going to have to attack, is the ineffectiveness, inefficiencies of our agencies. They've become really deeply bureaucratic, very slow, not responsive, pitiful customer service. They are not taking care of business in this state.
When you look at that, along with the Oregon Health Authority, are there other particular areas that you'd want to see a shift in emphasis for the budget?
Well, I think the state has just been on a sugar high with all this federal money, and they have I would like to see them stop creating more programs and more promises to people that they're not going to be able to sustain. Our budget is way out of control, and we're going to see it really hit the fan in 23-25. So that's just my conservative nature. Big government really becomes less freedom for people, and it becomes overburdensome. High taxes, high regulation, all of those are job killers, business killers. It's not a good model for our state. And our Governor Brown has been a very poor administrator.
As you look about the governor's race, what's your take on how things are going to go?
Well, Christine Drazen is now, we now, for the first time in a long while, have a very strong, good candidate as a Republican candidate. We also have a circumstance in which the state overall, the population is really concerned about the direction of the state, and they can see that it has not been managed well. So that's going for us. Plus, overall, the national mood of just inflation and what it's costing people to live and to work and the mandates. And so all of those things really created an environment in which we have a really good shot at the governor. So here's the deal. And the other thing is Republicans have always had the spoiler. Now the Democrats have the spoiler. Betsy Johnson is actually the spoiler for Tina Kotek. Betsy never pulls above about 22. Tina's in there about 33, 35 is her highest number. So if Betsy pulls from Tina, that opens up even a bigger pathway for Christine. However, if we splinter off our votes from Christine Drazen, then we are likely to get Kotek elected. That is my opinion of what I see happening.
And final thoughts about what do you think about, after being in for a year, what's your favorite part about being in the legislature?
I think that I have become so much more alert to all aspects, not only in my communities, but my county, but in the state. I'm just so interested in learning about how things work, who's doing what, and just working with the great people that I've had the opportunity to work with.
Christine Goodwin on Inside Douglas County, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.